Penny Flagg is known to many for her longtime career as a television and film actress. She's also the author of numerous New York Times best-selling books. To many, she's best known for her classic book, Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe, and the subsequent Fried Green Tomatoes film that was nominated for an Academy Award. I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a conversation with Fanny Flagg. We're here with Fanny Flagg.
Hi, Tom. It's a wonderful treat to be with you.
Well, that's what I was thinking about you. You were born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yes.
So did you grow up there? Was that your roots?
Well, you know, I was born in Birmingham, and my father was a motion picture machine operator, as was, Tom, my grandfather. He started running the picture machines in 1918, believe it or not. So I grew up in a big city and saw every movie, obviously, that ever came to town. And it's so funny because most people think if you come from the South, they always think you live in an old, either a farm or an antebellum. And I lived in an apartment. So it's very funny. But we moved from Birmingham down to South Alabama. And I grew up for 2 or 3 years down there in a little town called Gulf Shores, Alabama, on the Gulf of Mexico. Actually, that was what my first book was about that experience. My father bought a malt shop, and it was just a big fiasco. But anyhow, we went down there and lived there for 2 or 3 years. And the first book I ever wrote was called Daisy Fay and the Miracle Man. And I actually started writing it in 1975 at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. It was the first time I ever started writing, and they gave me a prize for it, and then an editor got a hold of it and asked me to write a novel. So that's how I started my writing career, which, as you and I know, is a miracle. It's like, it would be like saying, how did the one-legged man become a tap dancer? Because when I was growing up, I was severely dyslexic growing up. Barely got out of high school, couldn't spell, always wanted to write, but I was always, couldn't do it, I was embarrassed. And then when I met with that editor, I told him, I started to cry, and I said, I can't write a whole book because I can't spell. And he laughed, and he said, well, honey, what do you think editors are for? So I've been writing ever since.
Let's loop back in your life. So here you were at 19 years old.
Yeah.
A daytime host of a TV talk show.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Oh, well, it was hilarious. I was in the little community theater there in Birmingham, and I had also, I would go in the Miss Alabama pageant every year, and I'd write these little skets, these little silly sketches, and somebody from the television show saw it, and they were looking for a girl to be like the hostess of like the local Today Show, you know, the poor man's Today Show. So they hired me. So I did a local show in Birmingham for about 2 or 3 years, and it was the typical thing where, you know, in those days, gosh, this was in the 60s, I did the weather, I typed up the format, which was pitiful because nobody could ever read it. I made the coffee, and I couldn't make any money there because they wouldn't pay women enough money to actually get my cleaning done. So I left Birmingham when I was fairly young, went to New York, still wanting to be a writer, sold some material to a club called the Upstairs at the Downstairs.
You remember that?
It was like a really little review club.
And little improv?
Yes. And they wanted, they were looking for comedy sketches, and I sold 3 of them. And the girl that was supposed to do the ones that I wrote, the last minute couldn't go in the show. And so because I knew the material, they said, won't you be in it? So somehow I kept performing, not wanting to. I just wanted to be a writer. And before I knew it, I wound up performing and got sort of waylaid from what I really wanted to be, which was write for television. And I did work for Candid Camera for several years and was a writer.
And weren't you a host, too?
Yeah, I was. And the writing for Candid Camera worked for me because you didn't have to write anything on paper. You sit in a room and you talk about ideas. They didn't know I couldn't spell. So that was great.
Let's back up one sec, because I remember you doing a comedy album. Lady Bird, yes. and the favorite, yes. Martha Mitchell.
Yes, Martha Mitchell. Yes. Well, here again, Tom, this is hilarious. I wrote this comedy album with these...
How did that happen? You just said, oh, I want to do this?
Well, or? These kids that had also written for Upstairs at the Downstairs, Kenny Soames and Gail Parent and somebody else, and we all wrote this comedy album about First Family, LBJ and Lady Bird, and the gal that... and we got the record, and we had the studio was booked for that day. And I came to the studio, and as a fluke, that morning, the gal that was supposed to do Lady Bird Johnson, I think it was Joanne Worley, got sick and couldn't show up. Everybody panicked because we had the recording studio, and they said, can you do it? I said, oh, God, I don't know. And so I ran down the street, and there was a record store called Sam Goody's, and Lady Bird Johnson had recorded a record album called A Tour of Washington. And I listened to it for about half hour, and I came back out, and I said, I'm going to try it. Well, as it turned out, she had relatives and had grown up somewhat in Alabama. So I got the Alabama accent, and then I added the Texas thing, and then the clue to her was, years ago they used to teach speech in school to the young ladies, and they would say, think before you speak each word, don't just rattle. So she would say, hi, and a hello to you. So I got that. So I recorded Lady Bird Johnson, and then I wound up on The Tonight Show and doing all this stuff. And again, it was a fluke. You know, people didn't show up. I got lucky.
And then Martha Mitchell, that must have been a no-brainer.
Oh, it was. Of course, you know, everybody loved Martha. I met her, and she was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And she was exactly as you would expect. You know?
I think they had her killed. You know that?
I wonder. Mm-hmm. I wonder. You know, bless her heart.
Oh, yeah.
She got a bad rap.
Well, she talked from the heart, whatever she thought.
And she was protecting her husband, yeah. who wound up not protecting her at the very end. But she was quite a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. Well, let's move on. I know that we're tight on time, and I'm just honored to be able to have some time with you.
So sweet.
The fried green tomatoes.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how many people that becomes a part of their life lexicon forever, including somebody's daughter.
Oh, how wonderful. That's wonderful to hear that.
Yeah,
you know?
Think about it, too, the age spread. I mean, these are 20-year-olds that are right there with the 80-year-olds.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's amazing. And you know, Tom, and I know you've heard this before, people say, well, you're a writer, you're a writer. I wonder sometimes, and the more books I write, the more I wonder if you're not just a conduit. Because that story just seemed to the really good ones just seemed to come through you, and you're like a secretary just writing it down.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was reading you last night, and I thought, you know what? She's a masterful talker that has the ability to put it on the page. Your voice comes through. I can hear you.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Isn't that? Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. And I think being in the theater for so long, a lot of writers, their main talent is description and beautiful sentences and all that stuff. I think if I have a strong suit to my writing, it is I hear dialogue as people speak it. Because I listen, I just get the biggest kick out of people. I love to hear people talk, or just people that you'd never think use the language in such a hilarious way. Particularly Southerners and Midwesterners, they are hilarious, and you never expect it. You know,
aren't we blessed that we still have that regional vernacular?
Regional,
left.
Yeah. And I was at a health spa in Texas, and this gal, I went in to have a massage, and I had one of the robes they gave me, and it was very, very worn, and she picked it up, and she looked at it, and she said, well, honey, this robe is as thin as a bee's wing. Well, I screamed. I thought, who else would say that? Mm-hmm. It's almost poetry, you know?
Think about it. You know, that vernacular you have managed to capture so deftly, and that's where I'm going, is that because of your childhood? Is that partly because of where you grew up?
I think it is, and I I think that there's such a rich use of the language, and I think if Pat Conroy and I were talking about that, we say, what is it that makes Southerners write? You know, a lot of Southerners write. And I think it's the South was settled by mostly Irish and English that have that wonderful literary background to begin with. And then the weather, lots of time to sit around and talk. And people don't understand the one other thing is that the South is the only area in the United States of America that was ever defeated in war. And when a region is humiliated, people, it really upsets people, and they say, but they didn't hear my side, you know? And it's like when people feel like they are not liked or have been, people don't like them, they want to explain themselves, you know, or try to make up for it or somehow. And so I think all of that, and truthfully, I think as someone said to me once, it might have been a psychiatrist, you've just seen too many movies.
There you go. And that's a valid question, because here you grew up in a picture.
I grew up in the big silver screen,
yeah. You know? Do you think that imprinted and had a lot to do?
Stories. Mm-hmm. Stories. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, stories, adventure. And when I was growing up, there were just a lot of strong women. That sort of waned later, but there were a lot of strong, you know, women, and I was just fascinated with it, you know. Oh, I loved it all. Loved it all.
And you talked about the literary tradition of the South, but again, it's really the oral tradition, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yeah, I know you do worry, but I worry about the younger people with losing that on their texting and all that stuff. It, you know, it's their thing, I guess.
Yeah. And now you return to Alabama periodically,
don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about that today.
Well, I go down. I'm involved with a theater down there and colleges and things like that. So, and of course, I have lots of friends. I don't have that much family left. My parents passed away. But I go down probably 2 or 3 times a year, not as much as I used to. It's just travel is too hard anymore. It's just, I can go to Europe almost for the time it takes me to go to Alabama, because you have to have so many different stops and all that stuff. But
what's your favorite time of year, if you could pick?
In general?
Mm-hmm.
In general? It's interesting. Used to be fall, now it's spring. As the older I get, the more I love spring. It's like, oh, it's going to all happen all over again, you know? Mm-hmm. And when I was younger, I thought the fall was very moody and romantic, you know? And I had this vision of myself sitting in a rainy bar at a piano bar smoking and having martini. That seemed so sophisticated to me. Now I just want the sun to come out and look at the flowers and the bunnies, you know? I'm kind of gone simple, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. The finish is coming.
Yeah. The finish. Yes. It's true. It's true. What about you?
What about me?
What is yours? Fall?
Oh, gosh. I love spring because I'm originally from Minnesota, and boy, that day when the snow melts and the green grass comes up and the smell of the blossoms, and the bees. And I think it's because of that short window in the northern latitudes where you really appreciate that moment in time.
Exactly.
This friend of mine from Wisconsin, winter was coming on, and we were on a trip together, and she's leaving. She says, well, wish me goodbye. I'm going back to the snow globe.
The snow globe. I love it. It's so funny. Growing up in Alabama, I used to fantasize, look at this, about Lapland. Now, that's kind of Finnish, isn't it? Yeah.
I went to meet Santa Claus in Finnish. No. Yes, I did, in person. God.
What are they like, the Finns?
Oh, they're wonderful. I spent a lot of time there.
You wouldn't
say anything. They'd come and kill me if I did. Scandinavia, they're called the cowboys of Scandinavia.
Ooh.
Ask any Norwegian or Swede.
Yeah.
Okay, Fanny, I want to hog you for another hour, but I know that you have to go. Can we talk a little more?
Sure, talk a little.
Oh, wonderful. I want you to talk a little more.
Okay.
Let's for a moment go forward. You have the book out now, The Filling Station. Do you have anything that's in your mind, what you would like to do next?
No, isn't that wonderful? I'm just waiting for an idea. Once I finish a book, I'm not like other people. I wish I could be. I don't have another idea. Mm-hmm. So I just take a break, and then if something comes.
Maybe you got to go back to the Al Salt golf course.
Oh, that's exactly right. Get more ideas off the golf course. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I missed it, but a book I would love to read is about you and your life.
What's that? Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Oh, that.
Oh, honey, that would be a pamphlet. No.
No.
Oh,
yes,
no.
Yeah.
No. No.
I beg to differ. I think there are a lot of people that would be utterly fascinated. You can have poetic license.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you know, I always wonder about people that write their own lives. You know, it'd be hard-pressed to want to say something bad about yourself. So I have believed biographies.
Yeah, well, so your life is so coincidental.
I know,
you know,
it's
like,
kind of
oh,
goofy.
So
I know. People wouldn't believe it. I know.
I think that's amazing.
I know.
Yeah. No, I think it's a wonderful story
Thank
to
you.
Share.
Well, you're an angel. Thank you.
Well, I'll come down here and I'll interview you.
All right.
Fanny Flagg, you've made my day and more than that.
Well, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much fun I've had, and I really, really enjoyed meeting you and being interviewed by you, and I hope I see you.
I will see you next Wednesday. I'm packed and ready to go.
All right. Thanks, honey. Thank you so much.
The underbid music used in this show was performed by Grammy Award-winning musician David Holt.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.